Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir Daf Samech Hei. We will begin on Daf Samech Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yomid. Our Gemara will discuss the subject of under what circumstances, if a grave is found, may it be moved, and under what circumstances it may not be moved. The Mefarshim discuss how does our Mishnah that we're going to learn now, Mitzvah Hashem, come to this Masechta. Most Mefarshim explain, as we discussed at the end of the Mishnah Daf Samech Gimel, the concept of Raglayim Ledover. Raglayim Ledover, we explain, means since it makes sense, we have strong reason to believe something is the case. That's considered Raglayim Ledover. And our Mishnah and the other Mishnahs that we will be learning as we complete our Perek and Masechta all work around that same concept of Raglayim Ledover, and that's how it comes into our Masechta. Other Mefarshim explain that since, as we said, the Mishnah discusses the halachas of a cemetery, what is considered a cemetery that cannot be moved, when can a mace be moved? And as we obviously know, the halacha is that a nazir may not become tameh. So our Mishnah is discussing what are the circumstances that are considered a cemetery, that a nazir should know that that area is a cemetery and he has to avoid that area. Our Mishnah discusses, as we said, if a mace is found, under what circumstances may he be moved? Under what circumstances may he not be moved? Certainly, as the Mefarshim explain, one should avoid reburying, moving a corpse of a Jew. There are many reasons given. One explanation is that when a mace is moved, he is again judged in the Bezdin Shamala, and he has to go through the Cherdas, the fear of the Din, as we find even Shmuel, the great Navi Shmuel, when Shaul raised his spirit. The Pasuk says that Shmuel says to Shaul, Lama higestani lahalois I see. Why have you caused me to tremble? And therefore a mace should not be moved. Another explanation is that it's because of nivel hamace, it could cause that the mace should not be properly taken care of. Bezoyin hamace, very similar, that if the mace is not in shape, it could cause a bezoyin to him. Ramosha has a very interesting explanation. As we know, there's a mitzvah saseh that a mace should be buried. And Ramosha therefore says, for every moment that he's not buried while he's being transported, it's an avoidance. We're not doing the mitzvah saseh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us regarding this mace. Other Mefarshim explain that particularly if the mace is in a cemetery and one corpse is moved and the other niftorim are left in the cemetery, it causes embarrassment to these other niftorim. And therefore, typically, certainly a mace who's buried in a cemetery, or even if he isn't buried in a cemetery, but he was buried with permission in his grave, ought not to be moved. The Paiskim discuss under what circumstances a mace can be moved. The Rishalmi speaks about reburying a mace in order that he be buried together with his relatives. The Chacham Tzvi discusses that if a Jew died and was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, that body may be moved in order that he should be buried in a Jewish cemetery. The Arzarua discusses that if the cemetery is at risk of being destroyed by a flood or other circumstances, a mace may be moved. Rabbeinu Yoina discusses that a mace may be moved in order that he be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, the Marbach goes on to say that even in a situation where the mace never requested to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, it might have even at times said that he doesn't see the need to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, as long as he did not leave a will, a tzavah, that he should not be buried in Eretz Yisrael, a mace may be reburied in Eretz Yisrael. Says our Mishnah, Hamotzi mace betchila. Somebody finds a corpse, he was never aware of the existence of this corpse. And the issue is, when may he move this corpse, when may he not move this corpse, and when he's moving the corpse, what does that mean? So our Mishnah says, since he just found a corpse, it's not a cemetery, it's a single corpse, the halacha is mushkif kedarkoi, he's buried the way Jews are buried. The way Jews are buried is that they're buried laying legs outstretched and hands folded over the body. So we assume that this is a Jewish corpse, but since no one was aware of this corpse, we can and do assume that this nifter was buried here temporarily. He might have been buried here without permission, and therefore the halacha is noitlai, he can be removed. But the es tfusasai, we also have to take along and the earth around him, which we will discuss in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, why and what are considered the tfusa. The same halacha applies shnayim, if two corpses are found, noitlon, if we don't believe that this is a cemetery, we have no reason, we know it's not a cemetery, we have no knowledge that they were buried here with authorization, the halacha is noitlon ves tfusasan. Motza shleisha, if he found three corpses, then we have to start deciding and analyzing, is this area a cemetery which cannot be moved, or is it not a cemetery? Says the Mishnah, Im yesh bein zeh lezeh, if there's an area, if the entire area between these three niftarim is an area midalat amos vatshmoina, between 4 and 8 amos, that is a raya that harezeh shchunas kfarois, that this is a cemetery, and therefore the mace may not be moved. The Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra discusses how cemeteries in those days were constructed. People were buried underground in such caves. There was a cave with holes dug underground, and a mace was, niftarim was slid in to the various slots. And the typical construction of such a kuch, of such caves, were that it was an area of 4 by 8 amos. 4 amos were the back wall, where there was room for 3 niftarim to be buried. Each niftar took an amma. And with the spaces in between and on the side, we have a total of 4 amos. And then the length were 8 amos, with 6 niftarim buried along the 2 parallel walls of this cave. And again, 8 amos represents the amount of space needed to bury 6 people and the spaces in between. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Mishnah, here we only found 3 niftarim in this area that's between 4 and 8 amos, and the rest of the area was empty. So Mefarshim explained, since they're buried in this formation, we have to assume that this is a cemetery, this is a burial area, and just either they did not fill up the others. They never filled up the other slots. Baruch Hashem, there were no niftarim to put into those slots, or those other areas caved in because they weren't used or for whatever reason. But since they're buried in this formation, we assume that this is an area of a Beis HaKfaris. And therefore, he has to continue examining this entire area to determine how far does the cemetery extend. Because each cave, as we just said, was constructed with the two walls facing each other and the wall in the back. Then there would be a chotzer, a courtyard of 6 by 6 amos, and then again we would have another burial cave with the same construction. So the distance of the back wall of one chamber to the back wall of the chamber opposite was 22 amos. 8 plus 6 plus 2 is 22. Our Mishnah actually speaks about 20 amos. The reason the Gemara, the Rishonim and Masechta Baba Basra say we speak about 20 amos, according to our calculations, it should be 22, 8 plus 8 plus 6, is because that one of these areas we found the bodies were infants. When infants are buried, they have a shorter area because infants aren't that tall. It's only 6 amos instead of 8 amos, and that's why it's 6 plus 6 plus 8 for a total of 20. So we examine the area for 20 amos. Matz ech besayf esrim amma. If within those 20 amos we find another nifter, that's a raya that this is an extension of the cemetery, and therefore we continue to examine further. By the kimenu lahalon, we keep on examining esrim amma, another 20 amma, because shreglaim ledover, the concept that we discussed, there's reason to believe, since within the area of 20 amas we keep on finding corpses, it's a proof that this is an area of a cemetery, and therefore we have to keep on examining. Shila tchila matzah, because had he only found a corpse without all of the characteristics of a cemetery, that we don't assume that this area is a cemetery, and then only we only take the nifter and the earth around him and nothing more. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, the Mishnah said matzah, that if one found a corpse, the halacha is that we could rebury him. Prat l'matzui. So Tosfos' explanation of prat l'matzui, in line with the way we explain the Mishnah, is that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where I'm not aware that this is an area of a cemetery, and I find a corpse, and now I have to start determining, is this an area of a cemetery? Is this not an area of a cemetery? But if we knew that someone was buried there with permission, and this is his legitimate burial place, then he may not be moved. Other Rishonim give different pshat, that the Rambam's pshat is that our Mishnah means that the Gemara means matzah pratel matzoi, means only when the mace was found buried. But if the mace was found just rachmana litzlan strewn about on the floor of this field, not properly buried, that is the best proof that this is not a cemetery. Mace, furthermore, says the Braisa, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the only time it's considered possibly a cemetery is when he was buried and obviously just died a natural death, prat lahoruk. But if he was obviously murdered, he was slain, then this halacha doesn't apply. And there's a machloikis rishonim, why horug has a different din. Some rishonim say it's a halacha l'mashe m'sinai. All of these halachas that we're learning, many of these halachas that we're learning, are halacha l'mashe m'sinai. And the halacha l'mashe m'sinai says that a mace that was murdered has different rules. Others say, as we're going to learn soon, a mace shechaser, if we don't have the entire corpse, there are different halachas. Every horug, every person who is murdered, by definition, is a chaser, because as he was murdered, Rahman Salon, the blood flowed out of him, and therefore he doesn't have the din of a cemetery. There's also machlokes rishonim that when we exclude a horug from these halachas, regarding which halachas are we excluding him from. Some rishonim suggest that we exclude him from both halachas, both the halacha that, as we learned in our Mishnah, that in certain circumstances an area is considered a cemetery, and in certain circumstances it's not. What the Gemara means to say here is that that halacha a horug is excluded from, but the halacha of tfusa, that the area around the mace has to be taken with him when we rebury him, does apply to horug. Others suggest that that halacha also does not apply by a horug. Mushkif, the Mishnah says that the mace was laying, prat l'yoshev, we find him sitting, that's a clear indication that this is not a Jewish nifter. As we explained when we learned the Mishnah, that's not the way Jewish niftorim are buried, and therefore we could assume that he's not a Jewish corpse. Kedarkoi, the Mishnah used the word kedarkoi, prat l'shoroshim munach b'yerkesev. If he's sitting, if he's buried in a form where his head is placed between his thighs, again, it's a clear indication that it's not a Jewish snifter. Says the Gemara, Tani Ula Bar Chanina, Meish Shechaser, if the mace is not whole, Ein Lo Tfusa, the halacha of Tfusa doesn't apply, nor does the halacha of Shechunas Kfaris. A mace that's buried is not going to cause that area to be considered a Shechunas Kfaris. And in fact, I saw that the Tzoftes Peneach, the Ragged Shover, uses this concept that our Gemara just taught us to explain something the Torah teaches us. We know that the bones of Yosef, the Atzmos Yosef, were buried in Shechem. Says the Tzofnes Paneach, the halach is that any city which is an Or Miklot, or one of the Ori Miklot, should not be used as a cemetery. Shechem, he asks, was one of the Ori Miklot. So how were they able to bury Yosef HaTzadik there? So he answers that the Torah, when it speaks about Yosef being moved for burial, speaks about the Atzmos Yosef, the bones of Yosef, not the rest of his body. So obviously, Yosef was a chaser. He wasn't whole at the time of his burial. And our Gemara just taught us that a place which has a mace that's not whole doesn't become shchunas kfaris, it doesn't become a cemetery. Says the Gemara, for kalhani lama, all these cases where the corpse was not found buried in the normal fashion, why don't we have the regular halachas of a mace? Says the Gemara, aminan, we have reason to believe dilma ovi kechavim hu, he's not Jewish, given that he wasn't buried in the regular fashion. Our Mishnah said, and continues the Braisa teaching us, Matzah Shnayim, if he found two graves, Rosh Shalzeh B'tzad Magreloysev Shalzeh, for Rosh Shalzeh B'tzad Magreloysev Shalzeh, we find two graves parallel to each other, but the bodies were buried in opposite direction. One, the head is to the west, the other is the head to the east. In a Jewish cemetery, all of the niftarim are buried facing the same direction. Again, it's a proof that this is not a Jewish cemetery, and therefore the halacha is Einlein Tfusa, the halacha of Tfusa doesn't apply, V'loi Shechunas Kfaris, nor does the halacha of Shechunas Kfaris apply. Continues the Braisa. Matzah Shloisha, we found three corpses in a cemetery, buried the way Jews are buried. However, Hechad Yidu V'Shnayim Tchila, one of these Niftarim, we were aware was buried in this area, and two, we were not. Or, Oy Echad Tchila, Shnayim Yiduim, one we just discovered now, and two we were aware of previously. Yeshlam Tfusa, they're obviously Jewish Niftarim, and therefore the halach of Tfusa applies to them. But since we didn't have the same awareness of all three of these Niftarim, two we were, one we weren't, wasn't, or vice versa, therefore, Einlam Shechunas Kfaris. And as the Rishonim explain, this is halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. Obviously, there are three Jewish Niftarim. It should certainly be considered a cemetery. But the halacha is, there are very specific rules what constitutes a Shechunas Kfaris. And one of the halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai is that our awareness of all three of this, the three of these Niftarim are equal. And otherwise, it's not a Shechunas Kfaris. The Mefarshim explain the, again, another vart from the Ragged Shavar, in explaining what the significance, where we find in the Torah, the significance of where three people are buried, it's considered a cemetery. He says that the Torah, when it discusses Avram Avinu buying the Maris Machpelah from Ephron, the Pasuk says, V'yokam hasoda v'amora ashaboy l'avroham l'chuzas kever. So he explains, what does achuzas kever mean? What made when Avram Avinu purchased this plot from Ephron into an achuzas kever? So he explains, achuzas kever means it became an established cemetery. Given that Sarah was the third individual who was buried in the Maris Machpelah, Adam and Chava had been buried there previously. So now that we have three people buried in that area, lachuzas kever, it becomes a full-fledged cemetery. Says the Braisa, Ma'aser Yosheva, there was an incident with Yosheva, Shabada Gematza, he discovered an area where people were buried, Shnaim Yiduim, two they were aware of before and two of the Viftarim, Vechetchila, and one they only became aware of now, Obikash Lasayis and Shechunas Kfaris, and he wanted to treat this area like a Shechunas Kfaris, because there are three people buried there. Amalei Rabbi Kiva said, Rabbi Kiva, Kosh Yigata L'Rik Yigata, your exertion to consider this area Shechunas Kfaris was incorrect. L'Omer Shechunas Kfaris, because an area is not determined to be a Shechunas Kfaris, Ela L'Gimel Yiduim, either all three of the corpses that are buried there we were aware of previously, Ela Shlosh Tchila, or the three that we were not aware of. But any combination will prevent that area from being considered a Shechunas Kfaris. So our Mishnah said, Neutlin Vestfusosin, that when we're reburying somebody in the circumstances that we may, not only do we take the Nifter, but we also take the earth around him. Says the Gemara, Hechi Domi Tfusa, what exactly is the Tfusa? Where do we find in the Torah this concept of Tfusa? Amar Yehuda, because Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef that after I pass away, V'nesosani mimitzrayim, should carry me from Mitzrayim. And as the Mefarshim explained, the word Mitzrayim is superfluous. Obviously, he was going to be carried from Mitzrayim. That's where he was. It must mean, Tolami, take with me from Mitzrayim. Ask the Chidah. Yaakov Avinu was never buried in Mitzrayim. So there was no Tfusa. So what's the Pasuk teaching us? That Yaakov Avinu said, take the Tfusa with me. Yaakov was never buried there. Answers the Chidah. That's exactly what Yaakov was telling Yosef. I know that if I ask you to bury me in Eretz Yisrael, eventually you'll bury me in Eretz Yisrael. But I'm specifically asking you, don't bury me at all in Mitzrayim. Because if you bury me in Mitzrayim, when you take me from Mitzrayim, you're going to have to take along the Tfusa. And I don't want any part of Mitzrayim to come along with me. I don't want to be connected to Mitzrayim for eternity. Kamashit tfusa. How much is the tfusa? Pirsha belazer. Neitel ofa tichuach. He takes all of the soft dirt around him. V'chayfa v'psula gimelets boys. And he also takes any virgin soil to a depth of 3 fingers. Meisvei asked the Gemara, there's a brisa that discusses the tfusa, and the brisa says, the kamishit tfusa, how much is considered the area of the tfusa? Pirush Rabbi Tzadik, nightless a kismet. He has to take the chips of wood that fell from the coffin that's decaying. Vesikosis are clumps of earth which formed from liquid that left the body and earth combining. The Zyricus of Adon, earth that we know doesn't have any part of the body in it, we could throw away. Meniach as a Sveikus, any earth that there's a question has in it part of the secretion of the body has to be buried. Vashar, any remainder, any earth that was with the mace, Mitzdarav L'Roy Bin Yonishal Mace, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, one of the things that a metame is if you have roiv of the skeletal form of the body, or roiv atzamas, a quarter kava bones, or lamala tovered rekav, a ladleful of corpse dust, all of these combine. Ask the mefarshim. When we discussed the halacha of rekav, we said that the only time rekav, there is a tum of rekav, again, a halacha l'mosh m'sinai, is in the case where there's a mace who was buried without any takrichim, without any clothing, in a coffin that was not made out of wood. And the rekev, the dust, represents pure mace. If there's any possibility that something else is mixed in, the halach of rekev doesn't apply. Here, obviously, there are other elements. So why do the halacha of rekev apply? Answers the Rosh. That our case here is referring that there's the mace and there's the area under the mace. And we're able to distinguish that this dust comes purely from the mace and therefore there's a halacha of rekev, whereas the area under him is combined and doesn't have the halacha of rekev. But clearly this brisa doesn't say the same shear of all the soft earth and deep and the non-earth, the non-soft earth, the virgin earth for 3 etzbos. Answers the Gemara, the first Amira, Hudama Kahaitana. The Tanya, that Bryce said, the Kama Shit Fusa, what is the Shit Fusa? Amr Yochim Shim Ben Azai, Noit Lafa Techuach, has to take all the soft earth, the Chavim Psula Shal Shit Pas. In discussing the Halacha of Tfusa, the Mefarshim give a few reasons why the Tfusa has to be buried. Some explain, it's simply because of Kavod HaMeis. Others explain that all of the area which is identified as the Tfusa, which we just discussed, is considered area, earth, that the Meis owns, and therefore gets transported with him. Whereas others explain, as our Bryce that we just discussed mentioned, sometimes there are secretions from the Meis, as he decomposes Rachman al-Tzlan, that go into the earth around where he's buried. And those secretions are tamei. And the halacha is that a kohen, a nazir, may not be exposed to those areas. So we have to remove all those areas to make sure that the kohen or nazir or anyone who doesn't want to become tamei doesn't come in contact with those areas. It's interesting to note that the Rambam quotes the halacha of Tfusa, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't. And Ramosha explains that the reason that it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch is because we don't follow that halacha. The reason probably being because the Shulchan Aruch holds that the reason for Tfusa is just that we should know that the area is a cemetery. So we know that this area is a cemetery. Anyway, just let's say we took the mace out from a place that's anyway a cemetery, and no kohen will come to that place, there is no reason for tefusa. However, many paiskim, the Marsham, and many other Paiskim say that certainly if a mace is being reburied, we should take along the tfusa around the mace. Obviously, their understanding of the halacha tfusa is not just because of the a concern that no one should be exposed to tumah, but also because it represents cover the mace or the area that's owned by the mace. The Mishnah said, "Bada kimena." He has to search from there. If he found three niftarim, he has to search for another 20 amos. Amarava. Badak upana. He checked his field, found the body, and removed it. And again, badak, he checked, found the body, upana, and removed it. Badak vashkach, and then he checked and found a third body. Loi hai mafni lai gabahanach trei. This third body may not be transferred to where the first two were moved. Veloi hani trei lagabahai dachad. Even though nobody was removed, this body may not be removed now, because now it's been established to be a cemetery. Even though the two bodies that were removed do not have to be returned. However, Ikadamri Amarava, there's another version that says, Kivinish Nutrushus Lafanois, since when the first two bodies were removed, they were removed with permission, because they were, it wasn't yet identified that this area is a Shechunas Kfaris, and now we only have a third body sitting alone. The halach is Mafna Lahain, he can remove even the third body. However, asked the Gemara, V'leshvinish Shechunas Kfaris, why are we allowing the third body to be removed? Now we see that there were three bodies in the requisite area that our Mishnah determines is considered a Shechunas Kfaris. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rish Lakish, Ilam Matzva Teret Yisrael. We always look for an excuse to not create Eretz Yisrael to be considered a cemetery. So even though we theoretically certainly have here an area which is a cemetery, since it's not certainly a cemetery, and since we don't have the two bodies because they already have been removed, we also could treat the third body like it's a single grave which may be removed. It's interesting to note that the Paiskim use this concept that we're just discussing in the Gemara to discuss a different Shiloh altogether, nothing to do with Pinui Kfaris. The halach is that if a mistake is found in a Sefer Torah, the mistake has to be corrected. But it doesn't cause that the entire Sefer Torah should be re-examined. When is the halacha that if mistakes are found in a Sefer Torah, does the entire Sefer Torah have to be re-examined? That's if three mistakes were discovered. So the Sefer, Kesis HaSefer, discusses, let's say a mistake was found in a Sefer Torah, and it was corrected, and another mistake was found, and it too was corrected, and now we find a third mistake. Is this considered a situation of a Sefer Torah with three mistakes that we just said the Shulchan Aruch says we have to examine the entire Sefer Torah? Or do we say that since at this point we only have one mistake because the previous two mistakes were already corrected, we don't have to re-examine the whole Sefer Torah? He said, just like in our Gemara, we learned that if one nifter was removed, and then another nifter was removed, even though now we find a third nifter, it's not considered a Shechunas Kfaris, so too will be the case in our Gemara. However, the Eliyahu Rabba and other Paiskim disagree. They say the two halachas are not the same, and certainly if we have a Sefer Torah with three mistakes, even though they weren't found at the same time, the halacha would be that we would have to, they explain, check the entire Sefer Torah. In the next Gemara, we have a number of girsas. The first girsa is the Rosh's girsa. Badak masrim am v'loy matzumai. If somebody searched for 20 amos and did not find anything else, may he assume now that this fact that he kept on examining and did not find any other niftarim is a proof that this area is really not a cemetery. Amar Rav Menashe bar Yirmiyahu Amar Rav, Shchunas Kfaris. It is a Shchunas Kfaris, as we learned in the Mishnah. Once three niftarim are found, this area is a Shchunas Kfaris, and it has all the dinim of a cemetery. That's the Girsa of the Rosh, which according to this Girsa, we don't have the words of Amar Ish Lakish Ilu Matzu V'tir Eretz Yisrael. However, there are other pshatim. One pshat that Taisa says that even though we learned in the Mishnah that if we find three niftarim, we have to continue examining for 20 amos to see how far the area of the cemetery extends, says Taisus that the Gemara is saying we don't have to examine in all four directions. Examining in one direction is satisfactory. Another pshat that Taisus says is that if we checked, even though we didn't check that deep down, it's also an adequate checking. And that's what the Gemara says. Why could we be so lenient? Because again, we apply the concept of Amar Eish Lakish Ilu Matzu V'tira Etz Yisrael, and therefore we're not that strict in these examinations. Another pshat that the Rambam gives is, let's say we found three niftarim, that the halach, as we learned in the Mishnah, is we have to examine for an area of 20 amos further. And as we examined for 20 amos further, we found another nifter. But we found only one nifter, no more than that one nifter. So now the question is, how do we treat that one nifter? Do we say that that one nifter is part of the Shchunas Kfaris and also may not be moved? Well, since we only found one nifter and he's not next to the other three niftarim, although the halacha will be that those three niftarim that we found, as we learned in the Mishnah, may not be moved, that one nifter, given that he's only a single nifter, would be allowed to be moved. And that, says the Rambam, is what the Gemara is teaching us, that that one nifter may be moved. Why are we so lenient? Because Ilu Matzva Tiretz Yisrael, we're always going to try to find the reason not to bring Tumat Etz Yisrael, on the contrary, not to consider areas of Etz Yisrael Tumay, not to consider areas of Etz Yisrael to be considered cemeteries. Our Mishnah continues to discuss interesting halachas. We're not discussing specifically halachas of Naziris. Our Mishnah actually doesn't even discuss the concept, point out the Mefarshim, of Reglaim Ladover. Rather, our Mishnah discusses a concept of somebody confirmed to be Tameh or not. And as the Mefarshim explained, it's a very similar concept to Reglaim Ladover, and that's why it follows the series of Mishnayis that we have been learning. The halacha is that if a person has a nega, a tzaras, he has to go to a kohen to identify if he's a tameh or not. In order to be considered a tzaras, the area must be at least the size of a gris. A gris is the size of skin large enough to hold 36 hairs. There are other symptoms that have to be there for tzaras to be considered tzaras. Colored hair, white hairs, skin that's michyas basar. But let's say someone has a nega and he doesn't have those additional symptoms. The halach is that the kohen quarantines this person for a week. And then he comes back to see if those symptoms have developed or if the tzaras has spread. If the tzaras has spread, that is a clear indication that this individual is a metzaira, and the halacha is that he is now a metzaira mukhlat. He's a confirmed metzaira. Says the Mishnah, call Safek Negoim, when there's a doubt regarding tzaras, petchila, when a doubt arose before the person was confirmed as a metzaira, tahar. If the person has not yet been confirmed to be Tamei, we don't consider him Tamei. And the case is as follows. We have two individuals. One had a tsaras the size of a gris. And one had a tsaras the size of a sela, much larger. After a week of confinement, but they didn't have the other symptoms, and that's why the Kohen confined both of these individuals. After a week of confinement, both of them have a nega the size of a sela. So the person who started off with a tsaras that size has really not had a spread of its tsaras. The person, however, who started off with the size of a gris, his tsaras spread. But we don't remember who had what. Who was the one that started with the gris that now ought to be a confirmed mitzvah? And who's the person that started off with the tsaras the size of a sela? So since neither of them was ever a confirmed mitzvah, therefore were makel and they remain tahar. There's a machloikis in the Gemara, in the Mishnayis, in the Sechet, in the Gaon. What would be the halacha if there was one person that had on one hand a tsaras the size of a gris, and on another hand a tsaras the size of a sela, and this person was confined, and now after a week he comes back, and on both of his hands he has tsaras the size of a sela. So this person certainly, his tsaras spread. We just don't know on which hand was this spreading. Was it on the right hand or on the left hand? There's machlokes of Akiva and the Chachamim. According to Akiva, he's Tamei. Because even though we don't know which hand has the spreading of the tsaras, it's all one person. The Chachamim, however, disagree. Since we can't clearly identify which is the hand, which is the hand that tsaras spread, and therefore the true cause for tsaras, he can't be confirmed as a mitzvah. However, Mishaniska Klatoma. Here we have a situation where two people came to Kohen, one the size of a gris, and the other with the size of a sela, and now both of them are larger than a sela. So both of them are obviously tsaras. Now, both of them shrink to the size of a sela. The one that was originally a sela should now be declared tahar. The one that was originally a gris, since it's larger than his original tsaras, will still be a mitzvah. But we don't know who was the one that started with a sela and who was the one that started with a gris. The halacha is, since they were both already niskak latoma, they were both already confirmed mitzaraim, and here we have a suffix with tamei, and they remain tamei. Ask the Gemara menani mili. From where do we know this halacha? Amar Rav Yehuda amakra letaroi letamei. The pasuk when it speaks about the mitzayir says zois taris nagat zras begat samurai pishna shsiya erev aklit kol kli or letaroi or letamei. Since the pasuk used the word tarot first, we always are lenient. Ask the Gemara if that's the reasoning. Even the second case of the Mishnah we learned, where they already were confirmed as mitzorim, that halacha should be namis sveik atayr, we should be mekel. Yet our Mishnah differentiates whether he was confirmed to be tamei or not. Why, if this is the reasoning? Elo, says the Gemara, Kiyat and Rabbi Yehuda Merav, regarding what case was the halach, the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda Merav quoted, Ahoetma. The Mishnah says, and Beharis Kadmel Lasei Lovin, if the Beharis, which is a snow white spot, which is one of the discolorations that is a symptom of tsaras, if that spot contains two white hairs, he's immediately confirmed as a mitzvah. But the Mishnah says, it makes a difference. If the Beharis came before the white hair, then he's Tamei. If the Seir Lovin came before the Beharis, then he's Tar. Sofik, if there's a Sofik which came first, Tomei. The Tanakhama says he's Tomei. Rishuama Kehoi. Kehoi means it's faint, it's light. My Kehoi, what does that mean? Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Kehoi V'Tahor. We consider him Tahor. Ask the Gemara, why do we consider him Tahor? V'dilma Kehoi V'Tomei. Maybe we should be Machmer and consider him Tomei. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Kro, L'Taroi or L'Tamoi. When we're in a case of doubt, the Pasuk says, we're in a case of doubt, says Rabbi Yeshua, we should be Makel. And since here we don't know if the Beharis came first or the Seilovim came first, we are Makel and we are Matar, this person. That's what this Pasuk comes to teach us.